to do right by me in ways that demonstrates their love.
Amazing.
So that's those are the first two things I think of.
Oh, wow. What a great interview. You know what, listeners, this is WBAI, listener supported radio, bringing unique content and analysis made for and made possible by you, the listeners. Go to WBAI.org and click on the donate button to give to WBAI. Be sure to also become a member or renew your membership. I'm Natalie Tandiwe, and today on Neurodiversity Experts Talk, we discuss supporting fathers of autistic children in their parent journey. Our guest is Dr. Michael Hannon, associate professor of counseling at Montclair State and co-facilitator of the monthly A.J. Drexel Autism Institute's Fathers Autism Support Group with psychologist Dr. Robert Nassif. The Fathers Group meets virtually on Zoom from 11 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time one Saturday a month. Email autisminstitute@drexel.edu for meeting information. Dr. Hannon's counseling practice is online at bit.ly/DRHONPT, and his nonprofit, Greater Expectations Teaching and Advocacy Center for Childhood Disabilities, Inc., GTAC, is online at www.getac.org. Listeners, message neurodiversity-related questions, topic, or guest suggestions to ndexpertsinfo@gmail.com or text 914-620-2995. Thanks for listening. And thanks for being our guest today, Dr. Hannon.
Thank you for having me. Such an awesome privilege to be here.
And the previous program was Neurodiversity Experts Talk with Natalie Tandiwe, heard Fridays at 2 p.m. Stay tuned for Ecologic Radio coming up. This is WBAI New York. Stay tuned.
It whole again. I believe we can make it whole. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic from May 14th, 2021.
When your air and water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
We'll be talking about President Biden's environmental policies with environmental attorney Seth Davis. But first,
an update about Governor's Island. Roger, please introduce yourself.
Hi, folks. My name is Roger Manning. I'm the co-founder or a co-founder of MAGIC, Metro Area Governors Island Coalition.
Tell us what's going on.
So what's going on is Governors Island, which is currently a bucolic car-free parkland oasis that is home to a national monument and historic district and provides space for education, the arts, playgrounds, athletic fields, environmental projects, all this smack dab in the middle of New York Harbor, which belongs to all New Yorkers and is visited by people from all the zip codes of the city, the city is attempting to upzone the south part of the island to put in high-rise, high-density developments there. And MAGIC is working to try to stop that from happening. What's going on there is a justification by the city is that we want to develop part of the island to bring in income for the rest of the island, you know, the parklands and the historic district and stuff like that. But actually, their financials don't add up at all. By their own financials, by they, I mean the Trust for Governors Island, it doesn't break even until 2050. And meanwhile, it's Hudson Yards 2.0, where the taxpayers subsidize this whole thing for billions of dollars and that kind of thing. So they've quit putting out their financials during the hearings because, you know, that emperor wears no new clothes. But anyhow, details aside, the issue here really is what is Governor's Island going to be? You know, is it going to be this public oasis with all these things that I mentioned a minute ago, or is it going to be, you know, a place to develop more, you know, urban areas, turning the parklands into sort of a backyard for the corporate hotels and maybe this climate change center that they're trying to sell? They have this thing, it's called an anchor tenant, where they put forth this concept of a climate research center that will be in Governors Island. But they don't need all these high-rise buildings for that or any of that. This is it's more like a Trojan horse. Maybe they would put something like that there, but it's not required by the anything in the legal documents or anything like that. This is a plain upzoning of the South Island. Basically, it's a real estate deal. Alicia Glenn, the head of the Trust for Governors Island, a former Goldman Sachs person, quote, called Governors Island a nice piece of real estate. Oh, in any case, the development's in a flood zone. It's in a migratory bird habitat area. It's in the middle of the harbor while the currents flow by it. Environmentally, there's a lot of things to be considered here, in particularly the Red Hook Water Treatment Plant. And Red Hook, Brooklyn, which is having a lot of issues right now, would be getting the overflow from the increased density of Governor's Island, while at the same time getting a similar pressure from Gowanus. In Gowanus in Brooklyn, they're trying to upzone that area, and that's a whole other story that could be discussed. We know this because MAGIC is part of the Citywide People's Land Use Alliance, which... you know, it's a lot of groups around the city it's a pretty new group that we can tell you about later. But in any case, MAGIC has an alternative plan. It's on our website. And, I mean, right now what's happening is the City Council Land Use Committee approved a set of modifications to this disastrous upzoning, and they're completely inadequate, unfortunately, that they approved that on this past Tuesday, and May 27th, the full City Council is scheduled to vote on this rezoning. So we need to get the word out and get the city council members. Our website, govislandcoalition.org, has all the information on that.
Okay, great. Roger, that's exactly what we needed to know, what our listeners could do for you and do to protect the clean spaces. Too often developers, their goals are infringing upon the public's goals. And we're so glad that you joined us today. We're going to go on with the rest of our show, but please understand that everybody go into ecoradio.org to get more links, to get the links and find out what you can do to help save our green spaces.
And MAGIC's latest press release is on our website, ecoradio.org. There's a lot of information there on what they're trying to do to Governor's Island.
It's a classic story. It's the same story that you're hearing all around the city, you know, in the seaport, in Brooklyn, up in Inwood. It's green spaces are in jeopardy, and so are neighborhoods. So tune in.
No, I call it down zoning.
Yes. Well, thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Ecologic. Thank you, and WBAI.
And now we welcome environmental attorney Seth Davis to discuss President Biden's environmental policies. Seth, introduce yourself.
Hello there, everybody. I am an environmental lawyer. I specialize in environmental law since 1980. And I have spent most of my career trying to fix things and make things better from the inside, which is a novel challenge. Also, very active within the American Bar Association. I was chair of the American Bar Association section on environment, energy, and resources 4 years ago, and still active. I'm a delegate in the House of Delegates, which is the body that sets policy and overall professional resolutions for the association.
Tell us, if you would, why things seem to take so long when we're trying to get improvements.
Well, good things always take a long time, but in this case, it's even more important. We've been in a situation now where we've had one administration come in after another, and each one issues a set of executive orders, which the next administration then rescinds, turns around. And it goes back and forth without anything really being settled. There's a real problem here is we haven't had significant environmental legislation for a very long time. President Biden signed a number of executive orders, and I'll talk about these later, put things on the right track. But each one of these can be undone with a stroke of a pen of the next president, and I think we would be denying reality if we said that we're not going to see the pendulum swing back the other way someday. How do we make things last permanently? That has to go through the full rulemaking process, the full administrative process, which takes longer, and in many cases it's underway already. When an agency like the Environmental Protection Agency puts out a proposed rulemaking, opens it up to public notice and comments, and then responds to all of those notices and comments, then it will have the force of law. Of course, it can be subject to challenge in the courts, and that's another matter, but those changes are permanent. Those changes are harder to undo, and we hope that they will stick around.
More people have a chance to weigh in on those. It becomes more democratic that way, yes?
Yeah, well, that's the point, that the public has to have the opportunity to comment, and the proposing agency has the responsibility of responding to those comments.
What are your opinions of President Biden's cabinet choices?
Well, I'm only talking about the environment and energy area here. Okay. I'm giving my opinion. I think they're all great. But in any case, the environment and energy team, I think is excellent. And let's go through that for a second. The new administrator of EPA is a man named Michael Regan, comes from North Carolina. He was the administrator of their state agency, the Department of Environmental Quality. Very significantly, that was an agency that before Regan came in, and before the current Democratic governor came in, you had an aggressively anti-government, anti-environment administration in there. And the morale in the State Department was rock bottom. Regan came in, turned things around, made the agency function again. Very significant because the same thing is going on at the national level with EPA. And a lot of good professional people have taken their lumps over the last 4 years under the Trump appointees in that agency. And Reagan, I think, was specifically chosen to help build morale, turn the agency around. He comes from a solid background of both government work and environmental activism. And incidentally, he's the first African-American man to head that position. The Secretary of the Interior is Deb Haaland. You probably heard a lot about her in the press. She's a Native American. I believe she's a member of the Navajo tribe. She had been a congressman from New Mexico, very much tied to tribal activists, tribal movements in federal lands, issues, and that should carry over. As a result, she was somewhat controversial in getting confirmed, but she was confirmed. She has already launched a very impressive agenda there, and very pleased with that nomination. My own personal favorite is my good friend and longtime ABA colleague, Brenda Mallory, who is the chair of the Council of Environmental Quality, which is technically a part of the White House, but this is the body that basically advises the president and sets the national agenda on environmental health and public health issues, also has particular responsibility for environmental justice issues, which is a particular interest, one of the main focuses of this administration. And Brenda, interestingly, is the first African-American to hold that position. But I just think the world of her. She's absolutely fabulous. Other appointees are Jennifer Granholm, the former governor of Michigan at Energy, and two non-confirmed positions, but very important and very high level. You have John Kerry, the former Secretary of State, who's going to be the global lead on negotiating climate change issues. And Gina McCarthy, who was the administrator of EPA in Obama's second term, is going to be the special climate advisor to the White House. And if you followed her role in the federal government and in state agencies in New England, she's dynamic, forthright, and by the way, has a very strong agenda on environmental justice and is already working on trying to steer any infrastructure projects that come out of, we hope will be, legislation in that area to environmental justice communities and get the direct focus in there. So I think it's a good team. Waiting to see what the next level appointees will be. We're starting to see some of the assistant administrators get confirmed at EPA. Not all of them have been named. But, you know, so far, so good.
You're optimistic.
Yeah. Well, it's early.
Some change from the Trump executives who seem to want to destroy each of their agencies.
Well, one can hardly fail to be optimistic coming in after that, you know. But literally, that's a good characterization. These, in many cases, these people have the mission of destroying the agency. That's not the case now. And in many cases, EPA in particular, there's a real mission to build up morale and build up capability again.
I would like to at least point out, when we're talking about environmental justice, that Peggy Shepherd of WEACT right here in New York City is part of the advisory team. And yes. That means, one, New York is going to be considered, and she's a wonderful voice for environmental justice. I was so happy to hear that she was in that position.
Totally agree, and even more important is the fact they have that advisory committee at all.
Yeah, right?
And there's some other really good people on it.
Including two from New Jersey, Nikki Sheets and Maria Lopez Nunez.
Great. Anyway,
if you had a wish list of people that you would like to be involved in the administration now, is there anyone that I'm sure there are? Are there anyone that's been left out that hopefully might still participate?
Oh.
That might be a loaded question, because if you forget somebody, they'll be upset.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I better duck that one. But what we're seeing is top people, diverse backgrounds, good skills, and that's what really matters.
Have a thought on what they might tackle first and how successful we might be with Congress, what it is?
Well, let's leave Congress aside for the minute, because I don't have much hope of anything coming out of Congress. The question is what can get through in the administrative agenda. The two big priorities are, number one, dealing with the climate emergency, number two, dealing with environmental justice, and they're co-equal, alphabetical order. They're interrelated, equally important. There's going to be a big push across the board on both, and they can be handled well administratively. Environmental justice issues can largely be dealt with just by giving disadvantaged communities a voice, giving them the chance to be heard, getting them involved in the process.
Paying attention to what they say.
that goes to the quality of the participation. But yes, the biggest thing that came out is and this is a number to remember, Executive Order 13990, on protecting public health and the environment and restoring science to tackle the climate crisis, signed on Inauguration Day and directed all the agencies to review their actions over the past 4 years towards those ends. And we're already seeing the results of that. Some of these reviews have come about, including just yesterday, the EPA rescinded the cost-benefit rule for actions under the Clean Air Act, which Trump put in, and that's a very significant effect. So keep on watching that. There's going to be more things. Justice Department dropped its appeal in the Arctic drilling case as a result of that order. A lot can be done. But the key thing, again, is getting the full rules in. It's going to take the full 4 years. It's going to have to be done right.
We know time flies when you're having fun. Thank you so much, Seth. Unfortunately, wow, we are out of time already. It just goes so quickly. Tune in for our next episode in 2 weeks, Friday, May 28th at 2:30 p.m. You'll love Bob Nagy's Sustainable Living Ideas. Seth, we're going to be continuing this on a Zoom that will be available to people at another time, but not today.
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people who are making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBIFM.
To listen to this show again and any of our past shows, and to get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as the mayoral candidates' forum on nature and Governor's Island, go to www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, to find out when our shows are posted, those of you online, please sign up for our email list. And those of you on Facebook, please like our Facebook page. Enter Eco-Logic.
There are many video and audio versions of Ecologic available to you for a donation to WBAI.
Go to www.give2wbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next, or click or call 212-209-2950 and say you want to become a member or a BAI buddy.
And of course, we would love you to become a member in the name of our favorite radio program, Ecologic.
It's a win-win.
And a big thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you, ma'am. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you in 2 weeks when we discuss sustainable living ideas. May 28th at 2:30 p.m.
Expensive energy. Give me the warm power of the sun. Give me the steady glow of the water. Give me the spirit of living things. As they
For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Republicans elevated Representative Elise Stefanik into the ranks of House leadership today, electing an ardent Donald Trump defender in hopes of quieting their conflict over deposed Representative Liz Cheney's combat with the twice-impeached former president. Stefanik from New York has given voice to many of Trump's false claims about election fraud. She defeated challenger Representative Chip Roy of Texas 134-46 in a secret ballot behind closed doors. Fears of an all-out war, including a ground invasion of Gaza, are growing as the Israeli military directed heavy artillery fire and dozens of airstrikes into the territory last night. A spokesman for the Israeli military said the target was a sprawling system of tunnels that Hamas has built underneath Gaza's streets. Since the Israeli offensive began on Monday, Gaza's health ministry says at least 122 people, including 31 children, have been killed. More than 900 others have been wounded. A UN Security Council meeting will take place Sunday morning after the U.S. blocked previous Security Council efforts to openly debate its response to the violence. More than 100 progressive groups released a joint statement calling on the Biden administration to condemn the Israeli government over policies they say amount to war crimes against Palestinians. House Homeland Security Chair Benny Thompson today announced that he's reached a deal with Republicans over an independent commission to investigate the January 6th insurrection, similar in structure to the 9/11 commission. There will be 10 people on the commission, 5 appointed by Democrats and 5 appointed by Republicans. Commission members must have experience in law enforcement, civil liberties, and intelligence. The panel will have subpoena power and would be tasked with issuing a final report by the end of the year. The development comes the same week Republican lawmakers did downplay the events on January 6th and even used a Wednesday hearing on the federal government's response to the attack to defend the rioters. Representative Andrew Clyde of Georgia claimed the attackers that breached the Capitol in an orderly fashion that resembled a normal tourist visit. The Justice Department announced Thursday that Marine Corps officer Major Christopher Warnagris had been arrested for participating in the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. Warnagris is the first active duty service member to be charged over the deadly attack by supporters of Trump who are trying to prevent Congress from certifying President Biden's election victory. A former co-worker who recognized Warnagris in the photos reported him to the FBI in March. Hennepin County Judge Peter Cahill announced Thursday that the state trial for 3 former Minneapolis police officers charged with aiding and abetting the murder of George Floyd has been postponed until March 2022, so a federal civil rights trial can be completed first. The officers previously were scheduled to stand trial in August on the state charges that they aided and abetted second-degree murder and third-degree murder. Another former cop, Derek Chauvin, was convicted last month of murder and manslaughter for kneeling on Floyd's neck for 9 minutes, resulting in his death. Chauvin is scheduled to be sentenced June 25th. Philadelphia's health commissioner, Thomas Farley, has resigned after Mayor Jim Kenney discovered that he was responsible for cremating the remains of victims of the 1985 police bombing of Black Liberation Organization MOVE. In a statement, Mayor Kenney said, quote, "This action lacked empathy for the victims, their family, and the deep pain that the MOVE bombing has brought to our city for nearly 4 decades. Currently in Washington, it's cloudy and 70 degrees. In New York, it's sunny and 75. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and WBAI New York.
The WBAI Community Advisory Board represents the diverse needs and interests
of the communities served by WBAI. Our next WBAI CAB meeting is on Sunday,